This episode is brought to you by Fat Expats. It's the new expat magazine that's coming your way next month. If you'd like to find out more about it, head over to twofatexpats.com. You'll see a pop-up and you can sign up and we'll shoot you some information. Hello, Nikki Moffat. How are you? And a good Friday to you.
A good Friday to you, Kirsty Rice. I'm fever-free and footloose and fancy-free too. How about you?
I'm also fever-free. I like that answer. That's what I'm going to give from now on. Nikki, is it really bad in a time of just such terribleness that you can admit that you're actually quite enjoying the isolation period?
I don't think so. I was just saying to my husband the other day, you know, apart from the whole global pandemic thing, the online schooling and everyone being at home all the time, you know, the weather's been actually fabulous here. He's been here the whole time. The kids are treating him like a member of the family rather than just a drop-in. We've had so much more family time together. You know, my husband and I go for walks every day. It's like the world is on a hold in a way, but not. And I'm sure if the weather had been crappy, I'd be singing a whole different tune. But I'm actually also not, you know, apart from my little hiding in the car last night for half an hour, I think, you know, I'm actually also not thinking finding it too bad so far today.
I saw something recently where they talked about it shows your privilege, like how much you're enjoying the
absolutely
ice. So completely shows your privilege, because obviously if we were in India with no money and no jobs, we would be not enjoying isolation at all, because we'd be shoulder to shoulder and really struggling. But I think acknowledging the privilege, I have to say we just have had some of the nicest, longest family meals, you know, where you're not rushing to get people from one place to another, where everybody sits down, where everybody does the dishes together at the end, where everybody just has to spend time together. And sure, I'm not going to say there haven't been fights during the day, or that some of those dinners haven't involved some really
vigorous
discussions. Yes, so there has been a lot of, you know, it's fascinating living with teens, isn't it? Just getting right off track, but just how they are so assured of their opinions.
And oh,
it's so black and white.
So much time to explaining grey to my children. I was like, the world is not black and white. The world is grey. There are so many shades of grey, but it's great that you're in the black and white phase, but grey will come later. And I just get so, you know, my kids overstep the line all the time, like in cynicism or, you know, mocking or, you know, and I'm like, you can't say that. You can't do that. It's not really like that. It's just, you know, it's so black and white for them. And I can't remember a time when that was like that for me. Like, I can't remember. I still feel like I'm 16 most of the time, but I can't remember feeling that.
Oh, I can. I can.
Can you?
I remember being that black and white, and that's involved in social justice. Do you know? And just seeing that it is what it is. But I've also realised, you know, I am married to someone who's a much more, you know, G probably ponders things more and looks into both sides of the argument a lot more. And I've realised that it is a real sign of intelligence to be able to see both sides of the argument. Like, you are a measured thinker to be able to see both sides of the argument. And it's just fascinating sitting down because, you know, we have 13, 16, 17, 19.
Yeah, incredible ages to have those kinds of discussions.
Yes, and they have these huge discussions where they're so yes or no, and they get outraged by G if he offers the – you know, differing opinion. No, that's not right. Do you know? And I'll just sit there and giggle because I'm thinking, you know, that is maturity. Yes. Yeah, so from a place of privilege, I have to say it has just been lovely to just be able to sit and spend time with family. So, Nikki, on to our four fat questions. Nikki, is this the end of Facebook?
Well, you know, Casey, some days of the week I hope so. I really, I look at it and I think, please, can this be the end?
And for two people that run a Facebook group with about 24,000 people in it, that's an interesting observation.
Well, I'm just saying, I mean, look, I think people are embracing other forms of social media to stay in touch and, you know, they can get Facebook fatigue. I think Facebook can become a place where there's just one thing all the time. And I know that, look, there's not a lot of things going on in the world apart from the COVID, but it just seems to be overwhelmed and overblown. And I was so thrilled the other day when I could post a post that had nothing to do with that. Like, I was like, here's something that's got nothing to do with anything to do with COVID. And I struggle a lot when it's on there all the time. But, you know, I just, whatever. I think there's a possibility that people are embracing other forms of social media right now. I mean, if you look at TikTok, sure. And not that I'm big on TikTok, but there just are other things that are exploding. I mean, Zoom, not that it's necessarily social media, but it's another kind of forum that people are getting into, as you say, house party, all that kind of stuff. So although Zoom and house party, I think Facebook's coming for them. There's all these articles on Facebook about why you shouldn't be using Zoom and house party. And don't think that that's not related to Facebook use being changing over that period. What about you? Do you think it's the end of Facebook?
Yeah, I did. I feel that we are going to get better at this. I feel that it's one of those things, isn't it, that when Facebook started and we used to write our updates very literally, is thinking this right now, that sort of thing. I think COVID has done that, where everybody wants to share everything about what they're doing in ISO or what it all means or conspiracy theories or not. But I do feel there is a wave coming. I thought Facebook groups were completely overrun with COVID, and I think it was interesting in our group that you know, we really struggled for that first 2 weeks, Nikki.
Oh, it was just
same things over and over and over and over again, and people had got right away from what the purpose of the group was. But I think, you know, with crisis comes opportunity. And I think this was an opportunity for us to say, you know, maybe that post of yours would be better on your own page rather than in this page, because all these people are here because they're expats and they want to talk to other expats and they want to know how other expats are doing. So, yeah, we're not going to ignore COVID, but we need to stick to what is our wheelhouse and what we know. But I think it is a great time too, if you've got a website and you have a community, to really embrace that community so you can stick together.
Absolutely. I think that that's 100% true. And I also think now, though, that do you think now that the wave, the first wave has gone all the way around the world? So every first world country, again, talking from a privileged perspective, but most first world countries now have been through this first wave of lockdown and restrictions and whatever, and people are a little bit calmer about it. I mean, I'm noticing in our group now we're getting back a little bit on track. There's not as much overwhelm with COVID stuff.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that people are starting to settle in. Yeah, there's not the, oh my God, how much longer is this going to last for? It's more, well, we don't know how much longer this is going to last for.
So, which might have been something we pointed out a month ago.
Yes.
Kirstie, probably not you because you're in Australia, but do you think that we need to start looking at updating our fridge lists and what are our plans if we get sick and have to be hospitalised?
Yes.
And who, for our children's sake, for those of us with children.
Yes, so we've talked about the fridge list before when we've talked about in case of emergency, what should you do? And we've always said that as expats, we need to have a fridge list, which means you've got to have something up on your fridge that tells people what happens in a time of crisis. And this isn't just COVID-19. This is everyday living for the expat. So you and your partner or you on your own go out, you have a car accident, you end up in hospital and, you know, maybe you've got children, maybe you've got pets, maybe you've got commitments, but something needs to be on your fridge so that people know what to do. And we've always said that needs to be, you know, who would you call? Who would be the person that would fly in to come and see you, or who would take the children, or who would step up? I am in Australia and I have a community around me that knows, you know, how everything works and who to get hold of and whatever. But and I have a 19-year-old who's capable of making calls as well. But what about you in your world? Do you have your fridge list up to date and ready to go?
Well, this did remind me to make it up to date. A friend messaged me and said, you know, have you done a podcast on this, or have you, can I put it in the group? And I said, sure, bang it in the group again, because you always get good information and good updates, because it is important and we have talked about it before. But the answers, I guess, are pretty consistent. You know, for us, we have our local emergency numbers, and we also have a couple of phrases, German phrases you might need, because what I find is when I panic, when I can't think properly, I lose my German. It's not ideal. And I think that eventually someone on the other end would be able to speak English to me, but I shouldn't assume that. So, you know, we've got some German phrases that people can use if they're ringing the local emergency numbers. Local emergency contacts. So people who would look after our kids temporarily if anything happened to us here.
Yes.
Obviously that's a little bit more tricky in the current situation, but the family that we would have that for, or has that for us, we've been sort of not group isolating, but they live two streets over, and so we have been very aware of their isolation activities and they have been very aware of ours, so they could speak to that in any of those situations. Overseas home country numbers with details. So I've got numbers on my fridge that say Tim and his phone number, and then it says in brackets Nikki's brother, and then I've got Amanda and then Sam's sister. So people know who they're calling. So they're just saying, hello, is this the post office lady and whatever, so that they would know, like, and who to call and how that works. And I also saw that someone in the group put up something just yesterday, actually, that said that the fridge list had come to their attention and that they wanted to be a little bit more detailed in sharing things. And so they came up with a pretty ingenious idea that they set up a Trello board and they shared it with their emergency contacts locally and internationally. And they put on some additional things that you might not put on your fridge list, like passport and visa info, health insurance info, which depending where you live, you could very easily put on your fridge list. We do have that. And then wills and important documents and assets. So where to find those.
So who are they sharing their Trello board with?
They're with their contacts. So with Sam's sister and Nikki's brother, and for us, Jess, our local emergency contacts and their international emergency contacts. So if those people need to access those, they can go and find them online as well.
You know, I'm one example of those people with the detail. But why would they do a Trello board and not just a Google Doc?
Well, because Trello looks pretty and Google Docs aren't always pretty. It's the same thing. It doesn't really matter.
I'm thinking, God, I don't know who I know that has Trello all set up, or what if they say, no, I'm an Asana person, or what if they were like my mother and they said, can't you just write this on a piece of paper and give it to me?
I think it's probably like Zoom, where you don't have to belong. You can just access it. You don't have to actually belong and set up and engage yourself. I know that Trello is not your favorite thing, Kirsty, already. So I think you're coming into this with a little bit of implicit bias.
Oh, no, I would have said the same. I promise. I would have said the same with Asana. I would have said the same with Asana, which is my favorite thing. But I think when you're putting – you just want to keep it as simple as possible. But I get it, because if you gave them a piece of paper with the list, well, they probably don't want to have all your details up on their fridge and they're not going to keep it. So, how do you – I reckon maybe the safest thing is an email, perhaps, is that you email all those details with a – can you save this in your save folder.
The thing about a Google Doc or a Trello board is you can update it.
Yeah.
So when things change, it can be easily updated. And if you send an email or have a static thing, it's like the old, remember you when you used to have an address book, Kirsty, in the olden days?
Absolutely.
Every couple of years you'd get it out and you'd rub out all the phone numbers and addresses for all your friends and you'd put all their new ones in.
Yeah. Yeah. My iPhone still serves as the same. I think Greg's contact details in my iPhone are still Chadbourne Drive, Houston. Just a couple of countries
ago. Kirsty, what do you think is the best city to live in while in lockdown, and what's your criteria?
I think we all have a brand new criteria these days. So it would be somewhere with great supermarket delivery, somewhere that had great walking tracks and quality Wi-Fi. I have noticed my 5K walk has now turned into a 9K walk, because when you're only doing that one walk a day, and I find myself having conversations like, I think I'm going to do my fast walk in the morning and I'll do that on the Esplanade, and then I'll do my slow walk on the beach later in the day, you know, because that's the walk you've done after you've had your shower and you've got changed. It's just ridiculous. But I think it's interesting, isn't it? The best cities to live in used to be the ones with the best restaurants and the best nightclubs. And now we have a whole different idea of what a great city is to live in, you know, like for a location in lockdown. What about you, Nikki? What is the best city to live in lockdown?
Well, I think one with a great healthcare system also, top marks for that. Low density living. So I think about now, if we lived in some of the other places, I mean, really Hong Kong for us would have been the most problematic in the terms of seeing and being quite close to so many people. We lived in quite a large apartment complex in Hong Kong. And we talked on the Facebook Live about places we would have stayed and places we would have left where we were living there.
Yes.
And so that kind of comes into it as well. So you look, everything's different, but I agree with all the things you're saying, because I really enjoy the fact that we can also get out and walk. And, you know, when we do choose to go to one of the busiest walking or running places in town because we live right beside it. But, you know, when we get to other places, it is just so nice to be out and just have that space and not be. And Hamburg isn't a very big, busy city anyway. It's not super populated or overcrowded or has a lot of traffic. So it's almost a perfect lockdown city.
Yeah. And the people I keep thinking about in this lockdown time are people like our friend Miss Shardy, who lives out in the outback. And Miss Shardy keeps saying, I've been training for this my entire life, because really her world hasn't changed that much, because she's always lived in isolation. And, you know, Miss Shardy put a great cookbook together recently on, you know, cooking it for a station and whatever. But of course, so many of her ingredients that she uses have to be long life and they have to come from a can or a pack. And so she now is like, ha, let me show you the way, people. Let me teach you how to live.
I know.
Yeah.
Did you see just before we came on, you wouldn't have seen it because you were out walking, doing one of your walks. Miss Shardy did a live at a Facebook Live, and the mail plane came and they forgot her fruit and vegetable order. It didn't come. So she has no fresh fruit and veggies for a week, and they left the wrong mail bag. So she was having quite a rough couple of moments there.
Yeah. Where she was, so how where did she upset. Say how long she has to wait until it?
Well, the mail plane comes once a week.
Oh, shit.
And so that's for the fruit and vegetables. But I got the impression that maybe they would turn around and bring back the right mail bag. That's right. My impression.
Got it. Okay.
But she's having a tough morning. And so even hardened warriors of ISO life can have tough moments.
Yes.
Shout out to Miss Shardy in the outback.
Okay. Next question. Nikki, are you a celebrity follower on Instagram? And what are your thoughts on these celebrities who are currently streaming every thought that they've ever had with us on Instagram, Twitch, and YouTube.
Well, you know, I'm all for myself streaming every thought I ever have on my Insta stories. I'm big on that. But I just, it's a lot. It's a lot. Like, these people aren't working in the workforce, in the entertainment workforce anymore. And I don't know whether they feel it's an obligation to their fans or whether they just feel they have to do something every day. And
so
this is
who
how
are
they're
we
doing
talking
it.
About? Because I'm not a big follower of celebs, and I have.
Well, neither am I, but they just keep popping up all the time. People are doing new things all the time. Have you seen this person? And like, people are reading books and telling stories and saying poems, and, you know, and some of those things are helpful. I mean, there's one of the John Krasinski. I can never say his name properly. He started a new YouTube channel called Some Good News. So he every week has a thing, and he had a whole, he had.
He's the one that's married to Emily Blunt, right?
He is married to Emily Blunt. Yep. And he had on a little girl who was meant to have gone to see Hamilton and obviously couldn't because of the lockdowns. And so her mother had sent a note to say that they watched Mary Poppins Returns instead. So then he had a special Mary Poppins guest. Oh. And then they had a Zoom bombing where Lin-Manuel Miranda and the whole cast of Hamilton bombed them and sang a song from Hamilton to the little girl, who's just absolutely beside herself with excitement.
That's beautiful.
So, I mean, there are some. And that sounds like that's used quite a lot of technical know-how. So I'm not convinced he was fully isolating there. I think someone might have helped him with that situation. But I mean, there are people who are doing interesting things like that. But just there's just a lot of people all the time that you don't normally see, I guess, who are just constantly streaming.
A couple of things that have popped up in mind that I did really enjoy was, one was Chris Martin from Coldplay doing a. I think he might have actually started the whole hashtag of together at home, and so he did it, just played a few of his songs. You know, it's one of those moments where you were sitting there on Instagram and he kind of pops up doing an Instagram live and you're like, oh yeah, you're really, really talented. that's why you're you. Because you can do all these groovy things on the piano and sing without any backup or support, and you sound fantastic. So that was quite good. And I have seen Helen Mirren. And once again, another, I don't follow Helen Mirren, but someone shared a picture of Helen
Mirren. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Mirren. People just keep putting them into your streams.
Yes, yes. And I did see that, but no, I'm not.
The Backstreet Boys. I mean, everyone seems like
they're featured in my
world.
They're
trying to make a comeback. I mean, they did a socially isolated song, you know, where they're all singing in their own. I was like, are they trying to make a comeback, or are they just doing it like for entertainment purposes? Like, it's just, it's so hard to say. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I shouldn't be critical, but it's just, it seems like everyone's out, like, this is, they're all out and about on the socials, and you just keep getting fed into your feet. And some are very cool and very fun. And I guess it depends who you love and who you like and how you think they've got all this time, and it should be devoted to you as a fan to get some free content, I guess. Anyway, that's it. That's for me.
Okay. So, Nikki, what have you been watching? What are some of your favorite things that you've seen and read and listened to?
Well, some of my favorite things I read this week were the school reports for my children, because I truly believe that after 3 weeks out of the classroom, the teachers have forgotten what it's like to have my kids in their classes. And in fact, my son's report was absolutely almost unbelievable, given that I feel it's like less than 6 weeks ago, we sat in a classroom with a teacher who just said a lot of very hard truths to him. Gave him 2 B's, a B for effort and a B for citizenship. And actually this teacher that gave him the 2 B's after giving him quite a come to Jesus talk during his parent teacher said, I'm pleased to see that he is making a lot more effort during online schooling to submit his work regularly. I was like, oh, that's me. That's a comment for me. Because I'm like, this teacher, you know, you have to keep up with this work because blah, blah, blah. And he's, you know, but I honestly think that the teachers really, for both of them, out of sight, out of mind, and the interaction. I mean, our school has been doing mostly, we haven't had a lot of audio hookups or we're not allowed to have video hookups because of the GDPRS rules. So,
you might have to tell people what GDPRS means.
Yeah, it's the data protection rules in Europe. So whenever they have a call with their teachers, they must have their cameras off, and they all go around the class and say, is your camera off? Is your camera off? And they have to all confirm that their cameras are off on their computers, because they are not allowed to have any video streaming with their teachers.
Now, that would be an interesting conversation in the Two Fat Expats group, because I would like to hear, because, you know, I think it's definitely the opposite in Australia. There's a lot of Zoom and everybody in the classroom and everybody can see everyone and everyone's got their camera on. And a girlfriend of mine told a great story yesterday of her daughter who's in grade four, and everybody had their camera on, and the mum, my girlfriend, was sort of sitting next to her daughter, just listening in at what everybody was saying. She said one child had a bearded dragon on its lap. The other child had its puppy. The other child was obviously minding her younger siblings, and mum and dad weren't there. And she said it was just chaos, where all the kids were talking and the teacher was trying to, you know, get everyone reined in, and then did, and then we could all ask a question at a time and whatever. And then someone was like, oh, Isaac, you've got your bearded dragon with you. Yes. And then miss, can I ask a question? Yes, Izzy, you can ask a question. Isaac, what's your bearded dragon's name? So I think, it's interesting, isn't it, for you saying that with Jeremy, because the Zoom things I've seen on TikTok with teenagers are shocking. With, you know, we've had the university student smoking the bong. We've had the kid in the class where there's, you know, probably 30 people and he's yelling out, you suck, but no one can tell who it is that actually is saying you suck. So I think maybe the Germans are onto something.
But what their teachers are doing is some of them are recording videos. So they're recording videos and sending them out. And then they're also having the kids record stuff and send them in. I was in a PE video for my daughter where we did she had to investigate a type of dance, and we had to do a dance routine. And her father suggested that we do disco. And then he was very happy to suggest that. He was happy to suggest lots of moves. And then he went off to do several conference calls. So there was no one left to do the video moves with my daughter. So that was me. I haven't got my mark back yet. Don't know how I went. So they're doing exchanges of videos, but they're not doing sort of live video activity. But anyway, that was just that was one of my favorite things, my children's report. Things I'm listening to, another BBC, which I'm not sure if I've talked about before, but I want to mention it now because it's particularly lovely to listen to. Fortunately with Fee and Jane, which is Fee Glover and Jane Garvey, and I'd never heard of them before. They're BBC radio personalities, so apologies to all British people who already know who they are. But they have these also very calming BBC voices. They say it's a collection of the random and unrelated, and so it's not particularly COVID-focused. It sort of gets brought up here and there, but they always have a lovely guest, and it's really great, and I do enjoy them. And just my last one then would be Reply All, which is one of the greatest podcasts of all time. And they've changed their format for the time of Corona, and they're doing live calls with people mostly all around the world, and then they're collating them for a weekly podcast. So often they do, I mean, US-centric stories, but they're speaking to people in Sweden and Norway, and they're two of the recent ones that come to mind, but lots of different places, China, about what's going on there and what life is like and how specific things impact you, which is sort of which sounds a little bit monotonous, but it's not. Like, the very minutiae of day-to-day stuff can really be interesting when it's applied to a really particular case. So anyway, I'm enjoying the Reply All. They're bringing those out weekly.
I keep saying I need to get back to Reply All because I absolutely loved it, but I need to get it back in the list.
What about you, Kirsty?
Okay. Well, something I watched on was either, I think it was Four Corners on the ABC, but it's actually a BBC documentary, and it's called Amazon, What They Know About Us. And it kind of did a bit of a dive into Amazon, into how that customer focus in the early days really had not much to do with customer focus and absolutely everything to do with data collection. And I hadn't realized Jeff Bezos's background in data collection and what he had done in previous jobs and why, how he was able to mask that as, you know, I want to know my customer better than anyone else. Sounds such a lovely thing until you realize that 100 purchases on Amazon gives them about 15,000 pieces of information about you. So they were showing your clickstream history. I hadn't realized that when you click on Amazon, they can see where you've come from, where you're going to. So if you've been on any particular site, you know, that's personal to you, they know where you've been, what you've done there, and just how they collect your digital DNA. And it was just really interesting in their involvement with the police in the UK of installing these digital...
The rings, yeah.
Yes, the rings. And if for those that don't know about digital doorbells and why they want those doorbells and why they give so many of them away and basically sending the police out as, you know, their salespeople, it really, really interesting, the manipulation of a society. And just also once you get Alexa in your house, what the triggers are from those conversations. And I think what was interesting about it was they spoke to all ex-Amazon employees. So obviously maybe you're going to get people who are jaded, but you're also going to get people from within the system who can give you the facts on the system. So I just thought it was really interesting. It didn't put me off Amazon. It just educated me on what it was about.
Do you think, I mean, did anything in there surprise, about apart from Jeff Bezos' background, but did anything in there really surprise you? Did they tell you anything? Because I watched it, because you said, have you watched this? You sent me a message and I said, no, but I'm just about to click order on Amazon. Should I stop? and I was hovering at the time. And then I went and found it out and watched it as well. But I thought, I mean, is there anything Google and Facebook don't know about me? I don't think so.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think we've all surrendered to the fact that everybody knows everything about us. What this did was, no, it explored it more for me. And yes, you're telling me stuff that I think I pretty much knew. Maybe I didn't know the depth of exactly how much, but I had never thought about the fact that one single person could be sitting there looking all of that information up about you. You know, it's easy to look at it is in that I am a fish in a sea of, you know, many, but if you really had to think about one person sitting there looking at everywhere you'd been and what you'd done and the conversations you were having in your house.
It was interesting because the guy who talked about having beer and pizza and just watching people's click streams, I thought that was like, that's what they did for fun.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. No, I thought it was really good. So I like that. Also, Stateless finished this week, Nikki, on the ABC.
Oh, I have to watch it. I haven't seen it at all.
You absolutely do have to watch it, in that while it's not based solely on one person's true stories, they've kind of mixed in a few different stories to make it. It is really, really good television. It's actually directed by Jocelyn Morehouse, who did The Dressmaker. Oh. And yeah, so really pretty cinematography as well. Like, not only great storytelling, but when you think of, I mean, this was based from when they were out with the detention centre that used to be in Australia that no longer exists anymore. And so it's pretty ugly. You know, you would say a fairly ugly landscape and miserable setting, but there are some beautiful moments of capturing that middle Australia. And then I'm listening to The 11th, which is a podcast about the Whitlam era, and it's like a little piece of Australian history, and it has some really interesting cameos, like Ray Martin 20 years ago and him, or no, not 20 years ago, it'd be 40.
20?
40. So him working in America back in the day, but just piecing together different parts of Australia for those who aren't, you know, maybe don't have an interest in Australian history. Gough Whitlam was a prime minister who was sacked by the Governor General. It was something just so completely out of the ordinary and as had never happened before, and I can't imagine would ever happen again. But yeah, really, really great podcast and good for those 9K walks.
And it's good to have that kind of podcast that you can listen to and just roll from one episode to another.
Yes.
If they're there, because like I find when I'm walking in long walks and in a bit of a zone, you don't want to go, oh, I have to go to a, like, what do I want to listen to now? You want to just be able to go, oh, I'll listen to the next episode of that. Just roll it through.
Yeah,
I agree. Although, I don't know, Kirsty, are you listening to as many podcasts as before or watching as much TV?
No, what I have worked out to do with my podcast is I have noticed many of the podcasts that I follow, whether they are radio programs that have turned themselves into podcasts, is that they now break down those interviews and those segments that they do within their radio show. And what I've learned now is how to line up a whole lot of stuff that I want to listen to at once. So it just sets and off it goes. So I might, yeah. And so you can do your play next, play next, play next, play next, play next. And so what I'm really enjoying is I might do a 10-minute football segment of, you know, a football writer, but then follow that with a 10-minute political segment, then follow that with a 30-minute, you know, episode of something, and, you know, to keep it kind of interesting as you're walking, to kind of
keep
going. So yeah, I have really enjoyed that feature of podcasting now. I mean, Nikki, if we were really clever, maybe we'd do it, but I think that we just have one continuous stream, don't we, of conversation.
We're not good at, like, right, that's it, next topic. Oh, I was just thinking about this, and then I was thinking about that. What I'm finding is I'm falling behind on my podcast listening because I'm in my house or out walking with my husband, and so there are people all the time with me. And that's why I went and sat in my car for half an hour yesterday after shopping, because there was no one there. And I,
yeah, you kind of have to become a selfish walker, I think. Like, my husband is one of those people that loves to do those things together, you know, like, let's go together, let's do that together. And I think we did about 2 weeks of that until I said, I really reckon it'd be good if you went and then I went.
Now, Kirsty, yes. for our listeners, when we finished our last podcast, G was about to go to his first session of chemo. Would you be able to give us an update to say how he is going and how that all went?
Okay, so today is Friday. So, yeah, so he went a week and 2 days ago. So he had the chemo on the Wednesday. And then for those who've had chemo, you would know he kind of came home quite, you know, buzzing almost. You almost feel quite radioactive when you have chemo. Your fingers and toes tingle and you feel quite, it's bizarre, like you feel a bit radioactive. And so fine on Thursday, went for a massive big long walk, of which I told him off when he came back because I knew what was coming, right? So he felt great and was all great. And then, of course, Friday he started to feel a little less great. Saturday he was not well. Sunday not well. Monday started to get a bit better. Tuesday a lot better. Wednesday back to himself. So that sort of takes you from Wednesday to Wednesday, right? And the difference is, you know, this morning he went paddleboarding. So
That's fabulous.
Well, I think we will be very much for the first few chemos, 1 week on, 1 week off. Do you know, I think you'll have it. It'll take you a week to kind of recover from it. You'll have a normal week and then you'll go back and have it again. That was definitely very much how I felt through the process. You know, you kind of, and what tends to happen is then the more you have, the longer they take to get over.
Yeah.
So they just take a bit longer. So first one done. We now have 7 more of those to go because it's a 16-week process. It's every second Wednesday. And then he'll get a 4-week break to recover, and then he has to have radio with a low dose chemo with his radio. So that'll be another 6 weeks. So yes, we're just taking the elephant one bite at a time. You know, we've got one done. Let's just get through chemo, and then we'll see where we are then.
Excellent. Yes. All right. Well, thank you for the update. I'm sure everybody appreciates that.
So, Nikki, I know we ask people to send in some speak pipes, or what, you know, we call them speak pipes. They're really not that technical. You just head over to our website and you'll see there's a little microphone and you can leave a message. We actually got a few this week, but we're going to save them and put them all together for next week. Some people said, please don't play this. So, trust me, we won't play it, but we'd love to hear from you. We want to know where you are, what you're doing in your lockdown. How does your day look? What do you do? What can you see outside your window right now? Do you even have a window? Have you got a COVID joke? Tell us something funny. Tell us who you are, where you are, and we'll play them all next week. But please, like, send us a note, twofatexpats.com. Or you can also email us at twofatexpats@gmail.com if you want to. But, yeah, head over to our website.
And let us know if you're walking alone or you have to walk with someone.
Yeah.
For your exercise. Excellent. All right. Well, great chat, Kirsty. It's Good Friday, so have a good rest of your Good Friday. It was my early morning, so I'm off to have some breakfast and a walk.
Lovely. Okay. Bye, Nikki Moffat.
Bye-bye.